Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now I must confess to you, this is a rerun message. I preached this message about 11 years ago to Cooper Baptist Church. And I understand many of you were not here during that time. And those of you who were here, you don't remember yesterday anyway. So, But we're looking at kingdom service this afternoon at 5 o'clock. The nominating committee will be meeting, scratching our heads, trying to fill positions in our church for people to serve in. And we've had surveys out asking for volunteers and been asking people, will you serve here and there? And it's a great opportunity to serve the kingdom when you serve the Lord Jesus, who loved the church and gave himself for the church. And if you love Jesus, we ought to love the things Jesus loves, right? So that's today at 5 o'clock, and next Sunday we'll be voting the new nominating committee report in. As a church, and I know I preached this about 11 years ago, and I was reminded about this message from Ronnie Bolton. Brother Ronnie Bolton, a few weeks ago, we were talking in the foyer, and he showed me something that was in his pocket, and that was a little cloth that you will have the opportunity to get one at the close of our worship this morning, but this cloth that represents us as being a servant. And he still had it on him a few weeks ago and showed it to me. And, you know, and that spoke to my heart and the time of the year where we're at. And knowing that myself as a pastor is a servant leader of the church. We're servants. And so with that, it's a reminder to myself, and also I'm fully aware that this message is going out over the radio and internet, and not only am I talking to myself, but I'm talking to all the servants in the churches that are listening. You know, we need to be reminded who we really are, that, you know, if the pastor is not the CEO of the church, or the dictator of the church, he's a servant leader. Deacons need to be reminded that the deacons were ordained in the early church to wait on tables. Servants. The word deacon actually means servant. We're all servants. And ministers need to be reminded that our ministry is with the people of the church. Without the people, we have no ministry. And it's a privilege and honor to minister in a New Testament blood-bought church. The church does not owe us anything. It's a privilege to minister. And, you know, we can go on and on. The servants of the church, it's an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus. By the way, if you're not serving the Lord Jesus, it will not work. Because when you're dealing with people, people are people, are they not? So we all got to keep our eyes on Jesus and serve Jesus and serve him with a heart of love. And we have this great example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. And before we get into this passage of Scripture, let us go to him in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you'll speak to our hearts this morning from your precious word. Lord Jesus, not only are you our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, you're also our example on how we are to live and to serve and to love. So, Lord, may we take this example to heart this morning and be reminded as your people that we are to serve one another until the kingdom is established. And, Lord, may we take the role of a servant again, because that is a needful thing in our nation and in this world. And may you have all glory in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. John chapter 13, verse 1, we're going to see that self-sacrificing love motivates kingdom service. Self-sacrificing love. John 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Now we see the hour has come. Through the Gospels, we read that his hour had not yet come, but this is the hour. The night before he goes to the cross to die for sins, this is the hour. And it says that he loved them, he loved his own, and he loved them to the end. And this is self-sacrificing love, because we're fixing to see what Jesus is fixing to do. Now, I want to say this, that this self-sacrificing love must be a humble experience. Why is that? Well, we're fixing to see that he's fixing to wash their feet and dry them with a towel. Now, we're talking about the disciples in this setting. Who was one of the disciples that were there? That was there? Judas. What did Judas do? He betrayed him. Peter was there. What did Peter do that very night and early morning of the next day? Denied him. What did all the other disciples do that night when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did they do? They departed and ran away. They forsook him. So there he was. He knew this. He was God in the flesh. And yet he stooped down and washed their feet and dried their feet and took on the role of a servant. And folks, that is self-sacrificing love. And for you and I to serve in the kingdom of God, it must be with self-sacrificing love. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that we can give ourselves as a sacrifice on the very altar, but if we do not have love, it is what? Nothing. Nothing. It doesn't matter if we have faith that removes mountains. If it does not have love, the love of God, it is what? Nothing. It doesn't matter if we pastor or deacon or minister or teach. If you don't love the very people who you're ministering to, it does not mean nothing in the eyes of a holy God. It must take love. Self-sacrificing love. And you see, this love, it's not love that we can conjure up ourselves. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God." It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, we can have self-sacrificing love. And without this love, no matter what we do, it's nothing in kingdom service. It may get you a pat on the back. It may get you a paycheck. But if it's not love, it's nothing. Nothing in the kingdom service. Secondly, as we read on, kingdom service involves humility. Let's begin in verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded." So this involved great humility. This was a role of a servant. And there Jesus, God in the flesh, God tabernacle in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, took this towel and he washed their feet and dried them. That is great humility. And you and I must have this type of humility to do kingdom service, to minister and to teach and to serve. It must take this type of humility. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, left the portals of glory and took on a form of a servant. And he even went so far as going to the cross and dying for sins in the form of a servant. Read it there in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. So let this mind, it says, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind of humility, a heart of humility. So kingdom service involves humility. Also, let's read on back in John chapter 13. We see that washing and cleansing are needed before service in the kingdom. Verse 6, it says, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what am I doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So this washing and cleansing is needed in kingdom service. What does this mean? What is this about Peter, and then he knew also about Judas, and this washing and cleansing. You see, Jesus said that, you know, unless you do this, you have no part of me. And Peter went from one extreme to the other. He went from a prideful heart, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're the Messiah. Who do you think you are? You see, Peter sometimes tried to correct the Messiah. You see? He said, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, unless you allow me to do this, you see, Peter, your prideful heart has no part with me. You're doing it with prideful heart. It's nothing. You see, I'm showing you an example of humility and an example on how to be a servant. And if you don't allow me to do this and your pride is in the way, you have no part with me. You have no part in kingdom service, you see. And he's also said, first of all, it says in verse 11, you are not all clean. You see, Peter was clean. He had been washed, you see, looking by faith to the Messiah. He was clean. All of him was clean. And yet, he needed his feet washed. But not all was clean, and he was speaking of Judas. You see, Peter, yes, he had a prideful heart, but he submitted to with humility to the lordship of Christ. But Judas had his feet clean, but his heart was wicked. His feet was clean, but he did not know Jesus as the Messiah. His feet was clean. He went to the ritual of washing his feet, and the example of all of that, but his heart was not with Jesus. That's the difference between Peter and Judas. Jesus had Peter's heart, but he did not have Judas's. You see, for us to even begin in kingdom service, you must first and foremost belong to Jesus. You must be in Christ. For you to have self-sacrificing love, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. And that's only through Christ. for the Holy Spirit of God to enter your heart and life and for you to have the fruit of the Spirit. So you must be washed, and we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, but we must need this daily cleansing. How does that happen? We are cleansed. Our feet is cleansed by getting in the Word of God. It's called the washing of the Word. You see, when we're walking in this filthy world, our feet get dirty, don't they? So we must daily be in God's Word and daily in a close walk with Him in a relationship so that we can stay clean, our feet clean, so that we can share the gospel of peace. So washing and cleansing are needed before service in the kingdom. Also, humbly serving our Lord and one another is kingdom service. Look with me in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." You see, humbly serving our Lord and one another is kingdom service. Kingdom service, let me tell you some things kingdom service is not. You ready? Kingdom service is not attending church when you feel like it, and call, and that's it. That's not what it is. Kingdom service is not just being baptized and having your name on the Rolodex or in the computer in the church office. That's what it's not. Kingdom service is not getting what you can get out of the church. That's not what kingdom service is. But kingdom service is serving one another, serving the church, serving even people who are Judases. Maybe serving people who are prideful like Peter. It's serving one another. And it's really this. You know what self-sacrificing love is? It's serving someone. It's serving everybody, but if you will serve someone that you can have no benefit from, that's kingdom service. You see, if you're my buddy, I'm gonna help you all I can. But when you help someone that you have nothing from, that's love, and that's kingdom service, and that's the example Jesus gave us. Why did James tell the church to pure religion and undefiled before the Father of this is to look after the orphans and the widows, the lowest rung of society during biblical times. That's undefiled before God. And that is self-sacrificing love. It's serving one another. And Jesus told a parable, and he told this parable about at the judgment. And he's talking to this group of people, and one, he said, "Enter in, because you served me." And that the righteous said, "Lord, when did we see you? When did we serve you?" And he said, "I was in prison, you came and visited me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And when you did it to the what? To the least of these, you have done it unto who? To me." And that is kingdom service. It's serving not only your buddy, but it's serving people with a humble heart and self-sacrificing love. Whether they appreciate it or not, or they love you back or not, you love them and serve them, and you hope to see them born again in the kingdom before it's everlasting too late. That's kingdom service. If you don't do it with self-sacrificing love, it don't mean anything. Humbly serving, and please listen to this. Kingdom service brings joy. It does. Verses 15 and 17, you see, if you don't have joy in serving the Lord Jesus, loving Jesus and loving others, you need to do a double check. Verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you," or "happy are you," or "joyous you are," if you what? Do them. It's more than just knowing about it. It is actually serving with a humble heart and with self-sacrificing love others. And it brings joy. You know, when I'm down, I get down sometimes. I got to confess. Well, you know, the best thing to do is to get to pray with someone and get and help them to ask Jesus in your heart and life. Folks, that'll pick a preacher up pretty quick. I promise it'll do you the same way. You serve somebody. You do agape love with people. It'll bring you joy in life. Joy. So I have a question for you this morning. Will you be a humble servant? Will you be one? Will you serve the Lord with self-sacrificing love and not with a prideful heart, but with a humble heart? Will you serve the Lord Jesus? You see, husbands, fathers, you're the servant, main servant in the home. Why do I say that? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And by the way, it says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives the same way. How did Jesus love on them? He served them. Wives, when you submit to your husband, you're doing it as unto the Lord. It takes humility and self-sacrificing love. If you want to have joy in a marriage, you do those two things. It'll bring you joy. In church, when we serve one another, not expecting nothing in return, but you're just simply doing it, whether they like you or not, or love you back or not, but you serve them because you're serving Jesus, it'll be joy in the house of the Lord. It will be joy. Will you be a humble servant? We're fixing to have an invitation, and we're inviting you to respond to the message this morning. How can you do that? Maybe you need a place to serve the Lord. Maybe you need to be a part of a New Testament blood bought. By the way, I'm saying that wrong. You need to be a part of a blood bought church. Maybe Cooper's the one. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to enter in covenant here and I'm going to serve Jesus here. Maybe you need to first of all be washed by the blood of the Lamb so you can enter in the kingdom first. You got to enter in first before you can serve in it. And it must be through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. I'll be here to help you any way I can as during this invitation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare for this invitation. Lord, again, we thank you for your precious word and the example that you are to us. And Lord, there wasn't any funny stories or anything like that this morning, but straightly your word and your example. And I know your word will not return void. So Lord, help us to tend to eternity at this time for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.